Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
What area in life do you need illumination? Could it be discouragement about the future and the direction you have chosen already? Could it be depression over the lack of fulfillment in your lives, or the disillusionment by your previous attempts to find meaning for life through organized religion, which all can plunge us all into darkness? Did you ever wonder, or have you ever wondered, what is the meaning of life? Why is genuine happiness so elusive? Why do I feel guilty? Why do I feel afraid? Is there a God? Is there life after death? Will God's written word and the answers we find turn our darkness into light? God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I say to you this morning, follow the light for complete fulfillment.
Solution for every problem, and that is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. And this morning, if you have those questions, I guarantee you can begin to find the answers to those questions in the Word of God. Amen. And it will be that lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Amen. Let's just sing that chorus one more time. You are welcome here.
You are welcome here. You are welcome here. You are welcome here. Holy One. You are welcome here. You are welcome.
From your heart this morning, declaring him worthy, declaring him welcome in your life today.
Been a lot of confirmation to this, and I stood back there and I over and over in my mind and played the scriptures and what has been said. In Hosea 4:6, he asked a question. He tells us plainly, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In that, he goes on in Joshua 1:8, and he tells us that this book of the law, your Bible, should not depart out of our mouths, but we should meditate therein day and night, that we might observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then we shall have good success. He goes on, and what has been confirmed today, this is for someone here, and I don't know who it is. I asked God, I said, is it for me? But he tells us, he said, have I not commanded thee to be strong and of a good courage, to not to fear, not to be dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you wheresoever you go. What a promise, what a deal. God is with us wherever we go. What have I to fear? God tells us in Matthew to not fear the person, the thing that can destroy the body. But he tells us, he says, fear me because I can destroy both body and soul in hell. But this is the God that goes before me, that lights my path, that is my strength. What have I to fear? What have you to fear? If you trust him, your God is going before you. And there's nothing that's going to stand in his path. And I don't know who that's for. Maybe it's for me. But you need to wrap your mind around that. You need the word of the living word of God. I need the living word of God in me. And if I can meditate on that day and night, then God is forever with me. He's forever before me. And that's what he's calling us to do. Maybe it's for this body. I don't know. But God is going before us, and he's going to do great and mighty things in every individual life, corporately and individually. And I encourage us just to grasp that.
Thank you, Father. You may be seated this morning. I hope that you have taken notice of the correlation of those who have spoke to you this morning as God has moved upon their heart. The primary thing being that he is with us and that he walks beside us. And whether we're facing the trials of life or not, whether it seems like they're going to consume us or not, he is that illumination for our lives, and he is going before us. You see, this morning, church, that should edify you. That should build you up. That should strengthen you, because what you have been told this morning, God is trying to grab our attention. He's done it through three separate hearts, three separate lives, three separate ways. But saying the same message, I am with you. I am with you. I'm going with you, and I will forever be with you. And no matter how dark it may seem, I will light everything up. And you will be able to correctly guide yourself through this process of life. How many are thankful today that God has spoken to his people? Amen. How many are thankful that this morning we can be assured that God is all of those things for us and so much more? Amen. This morning I want to just kind of maybe add a little bit to that at this point, to be honest with you. And along the same lines of thought that we have been for the last couple of weeks with contending for the faith. And I believe that this will kind of fit right in with where the service has already been this morning. I want to first draw your attention back to Jude chapter 3, where we kind of began this thought of contending for the faith, or contending earnestly for the faith. It says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." How many are thankful again, just like has been mentioned, that God has given us his word? He has given us the message of the gospel, all right? Now, what happened is, as we began to discover that first week, that we contend for the faith by preaching the message of Jesus Christ and by completing the mission of Jesus Christ, amen? How many knows that he said go? And how many knows that we should go, all right? And when we go, that is what we are to do, to preach the message of Christ, all right, to complete the mission of Christ. The following week, we kind of looked at contending for the faith by refusing to misuse grace, meaning this in a very simple way so that we don't go all over that sermon again, all right, is that grace is not a license to sin, but rather it is an empowerment to overcome sin. Amen? And that is something that we need to keep fresh in our hearts and our minds on a daily basis. This morning, I want to bring you to Jude chapter 20 as we continue this thought of contending for the faith, all right? And I want to read that with you first in the New King James Version, and then we'll read that in the Passion Translation as well. It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." Now, I know some of you right now are going to be like, oh, he's going to go to this weird place and he's going to make me real uncomfortable this morning because I don't know about that tongue-talking stuff. Can I go ahead and ease your mind this morning that in this particular passage, we're not talking about speaking in tongues. So if that is something that you still are uncomfortable with and the Lord hasn't worked that out in your heart or your life, fear not this morning. By the time it's all said and done, I won't mention it one more time, but he may baptize you and you may speak, all right? Now, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The Passion Translation renders it this way: but you, my delightfully loved friends, how many would love to be called delightfully loved, all right? Constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Now, again, this morning, what we are talking about is being led in prayer by the Holy Spirit, all right? How many believe that he is the one who reveals Christ to our hearts? Amen? The Bible tells us that no man can even call upon the name of Jesus or accept him, declare him Lord, unless the Holy Spirit has led him in that decision-making process. And so we know, as the Word declares, that at that moment of confession upon Christ, the Holy Spirit then takes up permanent residence in our life, all right? He becomes that powerhouse of that comforter, that advocate, so many things for us in that very moment. But as we look at Jude chapter, or verse 1 and chapter 20, the morning, what I want you to notice is this, that there's two ways that we can contend for the faith as listed in this scripture. And the first, all right, is building on the rock. Now, I know this verse does not use the word rock, all right, but that thing that they call the most holy faith, that is Jesus Christ, okay? And how many knows this morning that Jesus Christ is the rock, amen? And the second thing is this, that again, we need to pray in the Holy Spirit, all right? So I want to first direct your attention to building on the rock. And to do so, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and read verse 24 and 25 as Jesus is speaking here. He says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Amen? You see, how many knows in life there are foundations and then there are other things? You see, in a lot of times in life, we try to build our lives on other things, all right? And those other things, inevitably, they fail us because they are not Jesus Christ. They are not that sure foundation that we have in who he is today. You see, what this scripture is saying is when we are founded on the rock, we cannot fall. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we might not face issues and storms. And I had a perfect picture that I wanted to bring to you this morning. And to be honest with you, I forgot about it until this moment. But it was of a lighthouse. And how many knows that when you see a lighthouse, you never see one built on sand? Right? How many knows anytime you see a lighthouse, they are on a very firm foundation, right? Most of the time you get that classic scene where a lighthouse is kind of out on this massive amount of just this rock that it's immovable. And all of the waves and all of, you know, they come splashing against it. Well, this picture that I saw just a day or so ago, it was of a lighthouse, and this wave literally just basically consumed the entire lighthouse. But can I tell you what happened? Nothing. It stood. The biggest of waves that come and crash against our lives cannot detour us if we are grounded and if we're founded on the rock of Christ Jesus. How many of us, that is where we must be established? Amen? If we read that verse again, it talks about how the rains came and all of these things began to beat against it. How many of us, life will beat against your faith? Life will do that. But again, if we are founded on Jesus Christ, we cannot fall. We cannot be defeated. We cannot be shaken. We cannot be ruined. We cannot be broken. Now, again, that doesn't mean that the storm might not come. But what it does mean is that we will endure the storm. Amen? And we will be forever established on him if we allow ourselves to stay, again, rooted in him. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7 says this, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Everybody say walk. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." You see, we receive Christ, and when we do that, what we're doing is we are continuing that building process of life upon who he is, upon the rock. And as we do that, it says that we are to walk in him, all right? That denotes that we should be progressively, continually walking in Jesus Christ, all right? It means to live conformed to the union entered into with Christ. Again, how many knows when you confess Christ as your Savior, you're coming into a partnership with him? Amen? And you're saying everything that you say you are, everything that you say that you can provide, that is what I'm agreeing to come into union with and to live under. Amen? And so what it's saying is we have to continually conform ourselves to that very thing as we walk in him. And as we conform, what happens is we become rooted, all right? It says that we become established and thoroughly grounded in that communion with Christ. We also become built up. That simply means that we have this fellowship with Christ that we continue in. And as we continue in that fellowship, we spiritually begin to grow and mature. How many knows that we should not look like the same person we look like when we got saved? Amen. There should be an element of spiritual maturity happening within our lives as, again, as we're rooted, as we're built up, as we're in that element of fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And again, that very last word says that we become established. And simply, that just means that we have immovable faith. Just like that lighthouse, we take it, we get beaten, we get battered, we weather the storm, but our faith becomes immovable. Why? Because we're awesome? No, because we're standing on the rock of Christ Jesus. What we're doing is we're not building on anything less, we're building on the thing that is perfect, amen? The chief cornerstone, the one who cannot be shaken, amen? That is where we are to build this morning. We are to build on the rock. Say that with me. I'm going to build on the rock. Now, again, That little phrase of building up in Jude 20 that we see, it basically means this, that we're resting on the foundation of faith, again, the rock of Christ Jesus, as we continue to make progress. We have to be moving forward. If we are going to contend for the faith, we cannot settle for what was. We have to look for what will be. Amen? Amen? It's progressive. It's continual. How many knows that here, while we are on this earth, there is no way for you to reach perfection in your spiritual life? Now, there are some who feel like they have arrived, and we won't even talk about that this morning, all right? Because there's a word for that, and I can say it from the pulpit. It's ridiculous, all right? You guys thought I was going to go dark for a minute. Look at you. The altars will be open, all right? Now, we know this, all right? We know that we have to make this continual progress, all right? But it also means to appropriately build on by following a plan with pre-designed specifications. Well, Lord, where would we get such a thing? As he has already mentioned to us and confirmed this morning, we need to be in this right here. This is what is going to cause spiritual maturity and growth. This is going to cause those roots to go down deep. This is going to cause us to stay attached to the rock of Christ Jesus through every storm, no matter how dark, no matter how powerful it may seem. The word of God is what is going to hold us and make our faith immovable in those moments. You see, we need that desperately in our lives today. The second is this: we need to pray in the Holy Spirit, all right? And it was kind of funny. I was writing my notes out last night, and I abbreviate weird things sometimes. And so when Shannon came in, she saw me where my notes were at this point, and she said, Pitts, because I had just written P-I-T-S. I said, yeah, pray in the Spirit. When you're in the pits, what better to do than pray in the Spirit, right? Because how many knows the Spirit is there for that very reason, amen? I want to take you to Romans chapter 8, okay? Why should we pray in the Spirit? All right, number one, again, we're fixing to find that out. Let's just go, all right? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now let me read that with you also in the Amplified version this morning as well. All right. It says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses, for we do not know what prayer to offer nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. How many are thankful that the Holy Spirit does what we cannot do? You see, why do we need to pray in the Spirit? Why do we need to be led by the Spirit when we pray? So that we pray the right thing. Because how many know if we pray our feelings, we can mess some things up? Right? If I prayed my feelings, I can tell you right now, I would be of no use to you as a pastor if I prayed my feelings. You see, if I prayed based on my circumstances, how many knows that doesn't do us any good? You see, we need to pray in the Spirit because the Spirit knows exactly what's transpiring. The Spirit knows the heart of the Father, and the Spirit can relay the heart of the Father to our hearts so that we are again in the perfect will of God according to what he needs done in that moment. How many know that in moments of weaknesses, that is what he does? He helps us. How many can do everything on your own all the time? You got life whipped. You don't need any help. You see, the Holy Spirit comes along and he says, look, I know you're struggling in this area today, so if you'll let me, I'm going to help you in this moment. I'm going to undergird your infirmities. I'm going to undergird your weaknesses. And in this moment, I'm going to pull you through. How many are thankful for that today? Amen? You see, he helps us to pray again because it says that we do not know what we should pray or for as we ought. You see, sometimes we just get it wrong. James said it this way. Sometimes we ask, but we ask amiss. And so, I don't know about you, but I would like those ask amiss moments to be few and far between. I'd really like them to be none at all. And so, for that to happen, we need to make sure that we are praying in the Spirit, all right? Now, I do want to add this in just because he just kind of made me feel that way. It is okay to pray in tongues, okay? And sometimes that needs to be what happens. But for where we are today and the life that we live, if that again is something that you just haven't experienced in his presence yet, please don't let that stifle the Spirit from leading you in your everyday prayer life. Okay? Let him lead you in those prayer moments, because I guarantee you when you do, what's gonna happen is it will edify you, but it will edify the body. You see, this morning you had three individuals who the Holy Spirit was speaking to them very clearly to speak what they spoke to you. But had they not done that, how many knows this morning we would not have been edified the way that we have been edified? You see, the Holy Spirit knows, and he prepares hearts, and he goes before us in that manner. It says that he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. He steps in place, and he says, look, because this is what's going on, I know this is what's needed, so Father, this is what we need to deliver. How many knows it's good to have somebody who knows what to deliver? Amen? You see, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, because along with the armor of God, we're told that we need this, all right? It says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To the end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. You see, the truth of the matter is today, what we need more than anything is we need to pray always in the Spirit. Because when we pray in the Spirit, we are more apt to be in tune with our Heavenly Father and to not miss the opportunities, not miss the mark, not come up short in our own spiritual life. Because what's happening is we are being led, we're being pushed, we're being directed by the very Spirit of God, the one who, again, can lay out that path before us. And we can clearly see, wow, this is the way to go. How many have ever had opportunities come before you, and they've been good opportunities, but the Lord said, don't take that path? Okay, four of you. So the rest of you were still waiting, all right? I can tell you from personal experience, even just being here, when I first came, we weren't here quite a year, and I got a call from a fire department in Florida, and they offered me quite a substantial amount of money to come back and to work there at the airport fire department in Fort Myers. And can I tell you that everything inside of me wanted to be like, sweet Heavenly Father, you have opened up the gates of blessing for me. I have been released from ministry to go back to doing what I feel I am called to do. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. It was four times the salary I was making, and I was just going to, I only had to work 10 days a month. Oh my gosh, can you imagine that? Only 10 days a month? But guess what the Lord said? Well, you know what the Lord said, I'm here. You see, sometimes good things aren't good directions. And so sometimes a good thing will come, but he will not light that path. He will leave it dark.
But how many knows when he illuminates that path, regardless of what is on the other end of that or what may be along the way, we need to walk. Amen? You see, again, he is everything that we need to do this Christian life thing right. I don't want to try to do the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. I don't want to try to do my prayer life without the Holy Spirit. You see, if we look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 12, this is again Jesus' words and description of how important the Holy Spirit is going to be to us and why we need him. Luke chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." How many know sometimes you can be in a moment of life and you have no words to speak, no wisdom to give, no answer, no solution, and then all of a sudden, boom, your heart, your mind, your mouth is filled and you can speak. You see, we need the Holy Spirit for that very reason. John 14, 16, and 17 says, "And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor hears him, but you know him and dwells within you and will be in you." How many are thankful again that the Holy Spirit is permanent? Amen? That as long as we're making and allowing him to work in our lives, we're not quenching, we're not stifling the Spirit. He is able to do his work, and we are able to work in partnership with him. If we go on, John 14 and 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." How many of us sometimes we do not remember Scripture like we should remember Scripture? We're like, yeah, the Bible says, hide his word in the heart, and I won't sin against God. We remember that one, but we don't remember to hide any of the rest of his word. Now, that's maybe a little overstatement this morning. I know that there are wealth of you this morning who have a wealth of scriptural knowledge, and you can quote it, and I've heard it, and it's awesome, and we should do it, right? How many know memory verses aren't just for Sunday school? How many know memory verses are for life? Right? Come on. Again, we have to put that word. How many knows if you don't put the word in, the Holy Spirit's going to go to that file and he'd be like, "Oh, dude, sorry. Mine is like divine impartation at that moment," which again, we won't limit the Holy Spirit to because he is limitless. All right. But how many knows we got to put something in to get something out? You got to have it in the file folder somewhere, all right, for him to drag it out in that moment. But how many knows when we do put it in, he will bring it out at just the right time. Amen. John 16 and 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." He says, look, you need to understand that the Holy Spirit is going to be to your spiritual advantage, and you need him operating in your life. Again, John 16, 13, and 14 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." How many knows that we need the Father's will in our life? And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He simply just takes what the Father is relaying and he just says, "Hey, look, this is where you need to be. This is where you need to go." How many are thankful that he even prepares us for what is ahead? Amen? You see, we need this operating in our lives today. You see, we need to be building on the rock. We need to be praying in the Spirit. If we're going to contend for the faith, if we're going to fight for it, if we're going to strive for it, the way that it must be done in this day and age to win and to reach the lost that need to be reached and won for the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to keep our lives firmly established on Jesus Christ. We're going to have to pray in the Spirit, amen? If you would stand with me this morning, you see, our prayer life should be under his guidance and influence at all times. Amen? You see, it should be according to the rule and authority of his word, just as we have discussed this morning. We don't need to veer from that. We don't need to twist it. We don't need to manipulate it. We don't need to cut and paste it. We need to take the word in its entirety and begin to digest it and let it be applied to our lives. You see, we need to approach with faith and fervency that is put into action through constant perseverance. How many know contending for the faith is going to take effort? It's going to require a price from us. It's going to require participation. It's going to require effort. It's going to require time. It's going to require dedication. But how many knows it's going to be worth it? Amen? It's going to be worth it. You see, to contend for the faith, we must build on the rock as we continue to grow spiritually, while at the very same time, we need to begin to faithfully pray in the Spirit, who empowers us for service and who keeps us in the perfect will of God. That is how we're going to accomplish what we need to accomplish in this day and in this moment. If we're really going to launch out into the deep and let down our nets as God has called and commissioned us specifically to do this year, if we're really going to reach our community and minister to them and bring hope and bring healing and bring the message of Jesus Christ to them, if we're really going to win the lost, if we're really going to create disciples, we cannot build our lives on anything less than Jesus Christ. And we must have the Holy Spirit. We must be willing to pray in the Spirit and allow Him to lead us and guide us through all things. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for, Lord, everything that has transpired this morning. God, from even our moments in Sunday school leading up to worship, God, to this very moment, Lord, how you have pieced everything together. God, you have brought words of God empowerment and edification to your people. Father, I pray that our hearts would be, Lord, responsive. God, that we would receive, Lord, what you have spoken to us and allow it, God, to be implanted into our hearts and lives so that, Lord, it can be put into action and application appropriately. God, let us realize today that if we're trying to build, God, our lives, our spiritual life on anything less than you, God, it's going to fail. It won't stand the test of life. It won't stand the test and challenges of our faith. So God, let us make sure that what we're building on is, God, not a guesswork, not any other kind of framework, but God, that it is building on the rock of Christ Jesus. And God, as we do that, let us progressively, spiritually grow, Lord, and by doing that, Lord, through prayer and the Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to always be sensitive. God, help us to never quench or stifle your Spirit, but God, allow him to clearly move in us, speak to us, and lead us and guide us, Lord, through your word, God, through prayer, through all of those things, Lord, that are necessary for us, God, to continue in the process you've called us to. Father, I thank you for it this morning in Christ's name.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.